You'll be turning to Acts chapter number 5, if you would. Acts, the 5th chapter. As the early believers proclaimed the message of the gospel, they did so with the focus on our Lord's death. And when you read in the book of Acts, you'll find that as they preached about our Lord's death on the cross, they described him as being crucified or being the one hung on a tree. That is, they focused on the tree. When Peter was preaching in Jerusalem, preaching to the Jews in Acts chapter number 5 and beginning of verse number 29, Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men." And then he said, "The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree." As the gospel spread outside of Jerusalem and it began to spread to the Gentiles, it was Peter who took the gospel message in Acts chapter number 10. To the first Gentile convert, a man by the name of Cornelius. And the Bible tells us that as he was preaching to him in Acts chapter number 10 and verse 39, he said, "We are witnesses of all things which he, Jesus, did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree." And whenever Paul took the gospel to the uttermost parts of the earth, that is, on those missionary journeys, we have a sample of what he preached whenever we have a sample message in Acts 13 when he was preaching in Antioch of Pisidia. And in Acts chapter number 13, as he was preaching, the Bible says in verse number 26 that he said this, "Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sin. For they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in condemning him. And though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in the sepulcher." So when Peter was preaching in Jerusalem, he was preaching about the tree. And when he took the gospel to the Gentiles, to Cornelius in Acts chapter number 10, he also again started preaching a message about that tree. And then when Paul was taking the gospel message to the uttermost parts of the earth in Acts 13, in that sample message that we have, again we learned that he was talking about Jesus who was on a tree, taken down from the tree. They kept talking about that tree. There's some particular truths that emerge out of these messages, and that is a standout to us as we notice how it is that Peter and also the Apostle Paul talked about and spoke about this tree. These two apostles are revealing to us some truth about the tree. There are several things that stand out to us, and first of all, the emphasis, that is the truth that is revealed, is the truth about the crucifixion of the Christ. That when our Lord Jesus died, that he died by means of crucifixion. That's the image, of course, that is given us when he talks about the tree, whether it be Peter preaching to the Jews and Cornelius, or whether it be Paul to the uttermost parts of the earth. The fact that they mentioned the tree reminds us that he was crucified on a cross that is made out of a tree. The crucifixion of the Christ. It reminds us, the fact that he died on that tree, reminds us that the death of Jesus was indeed a painful death. It was a painful death. As a matter of fact, when you read about how the Apostle Peter described the death of our Lord in Acts 5 verse 30, he used the word slew in the King James. When you read about how he presented the death of Christ when he was preaching to Cornelius in Acts 10 verse 39, again he used the word slew in the King James. When you read about how the Apostle Paul preached in the city of Antioch, of Pisidia, that message that we read a few moments ago about, he also used the word slain when he described the death of Christ in Acts 13 and verse number 38. The word slew and the word slain. Just reminding us that when our Lord was hanging on that tree, placed on that tree, that he was indeed suffering, that is painfully, at the hands of these wicked men. As a matter of fact, the word slew in Acts chapter 5 and verse number 30, the word that is used there literally means, from the original, to take into hand. To take in hand. It's a word that is used to describe death at the hands of somebody else. And that is the idea of a violent and painful death. The hands ladies and gentlemen, that inflicted the suffering upon our Lord Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, we read about those hands in the Bible. We read about the hands of the Jewish leaders who inflicted such suffering upon our Lord. Matthew describes those hands to us in Matthew chapter number 26. Listen to what he writes. In Matthew chapter number 26, and the Bible says in verse number 65, it says, the high priest, after our Lord was arrested and he stood before the Jewish leaders, the high priest rent his clothes, saying, he, the Lord, has spoken blasphemy. What further need we of witnesses? Behold, now you've heard his blasphemy. What think ye? And they all answered, that is the Sanhedrin council, he is guilty of death. And the Bible says they did spit in his face. And then the Bible says they buffeted him, and others smote him with the palms of their hands. That is the word slain or slew. That means that he suffered at the hands of others. Ladies and gentlemen, those very hands of the Jewish leaders, the Bible says here that they buffeted him, which means that they hit him with their fist. And the Bible says that others slapped him with the open hand. There he is, suffering at the hands of these Jewish leaders as he is being tried before them. A little bit later on, Matthew describes for us in chapter number 27 and verse number 1. It says, when the morning was come, all the chief priests and the elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, there he is now, they with their hands are binding our Lord. The very hands, ladies and gentlemen, that beat our Lord, the very hands that slapped our Lord are now binding our Lord. And they lead him away to the governor Pontius Pilate, that is the Roman leader. And the Bible says there in chapter number 27, that the Romans also, with their wicked hands also, caused great suffering upon our Lord. In Matthew chapter number 27, beginning in verse number 26, the Bible says that he, Pilate, released Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. That is, the Bible tells us that he gave the order, and the Roman soldiers took our Lord, and they scourged him. That is, they beat him with a whip. And as they beat him with the whip, as you all well know by now, pieces of his body were coming off of him. And that is, as they beat him with the whip, he was being lacerated deeply, and his body was being cut, and as he was beaten by those soldiers. And after that, the Bible says that the soldiers took Jesus into the common hall, and they gathered a whole band of soldiers around our Lord. They stripped him, and they put on him a scarlet robe. And verse 29 of Matthew 27 says that they plaited a crown of thorns, those very hands, that is, those hands that slew him. They put together a crown of thorns, and the Bible says they put it upon his head, and they put a reed or a rod in his right hand. And then they begin to mock him, bowing the knee and saying, Hail, King of the Jews. And then they spit upon him. And the Bible says that with those hands, they took the rod, the reed, and they smote him on the head. And after that, the Bible says, after they had mocked him, they took the robe off of him and put on his own raiment and led him away to crucify our Lord Jesus. The Bible says that as they came out, they found a man, Simon, that is from Cyrene, Simon by name. They compelled him to bear his cross. And when they would come to a place called Golgotha, that is the place of the skull, they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall. When he tasted thereof, he would not drink. And listen, they crucified him. With those hands, that is the same hands that scourged him, those same hands that beat him. Ladies and gentlemen, those same hands that plaited the crown of thorns and put it upon his head. The same hands that took the rod and beat him around the head with the rod. Now those same hands, the hands of the Roman soldiers, the Bible tells us, now they're nailing him to a cross. That is, nailing him to a tree. They crucified him, our Lord. The same hands. I'm trying to get you to see the awful death that our Lord died when he died on that tree. That is the image of a tree that is revealing to you and I that he didn't just die any kind of a death, but he died the horrible, painful death of being crucified on a cross. He was slain by the hands of the wicked men, the Jewish leaders, as well as the Romans as well. The Bible tells us not only about the fact that our Lord's using the image of the tree not only reminds us that his death was painful, but it also reminds us that his death was also predicted. It was a predicted death, a death that was prophesied about from the Old Testament. It's not by accident that Peter and Paul used the word tree to describe the cross on which he was crucified. The Bible says he was hanged on a tree. Paul said he was on a tree in Acts 13, and that wording takes us back to the prophecy of the Old Testament in Deuteronomy chapter number 21. I'll read it to you. In Deuteronomy chapter number 21 and verse number 22 is what the Bible says. It says, if a man has committed a sin worthy of death, and he be put to death, and thou hang him on a tree, his body shall not remain all night upon the tree, but thou shalt in any wise bury him that day. For he that is hanged is accursed of God. That is, those who are executed by hanging on a tree, they're cursed of God. And the Bible says that the land be not defiled for which the Lord thy God giveth thee. They got to be buried that day because they are under a curse. Hanging on a tree. Listen, Paul wrote about that many years later in Galatians chapter number 3. In Galatians chapter number 3, the Bible tells us in verse number 13 that Christ has redeemed us from the curse. That is, from the curse of the law being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. He's talking about that tree upon which our Lord hung. It's the same, listen, it's a tree that we read about in the prophecies of the book of Deuteronomy. And those who hang on a tree are accursed. And we find that the Apostle Paul, ladies and gentlemen, is pointing to Christ. He's telling us that there was a prophecy there that is fulfilled in the death of our Lord on that cross. He died on that tree. And that is, he took upon himself, ladies and gentlemen, the curse of sin, the curse of the law, he took upon himself, and he died in our place. And listen, Paul is pointing to the cross and telling us that Jesus' death was redemptive. That is, he paid the price demanded by God's broken law. He paid the price of death. The curse of the broken law was borne by our Lord as he hung on the cross. And that is that God gave his law, a law that demands holiness, a law that demands perfection, and we've broken that law. And the Bible says the consequences of breaking God's law, of being a sinner, is death. And you and I are under that curse. And yet our Lord went to the tree, and as he hung on the tree, was bearing that curse for us in our place. God's broken law, that is, sin, was being borne by him. He died in our place so that you and I can be released from that curse, no longer under the law. And the reason why is because he took that judgment upon himself and bore that curse, no longer under the curse of sin and death. And the reason why is because he hung on that tree. I want you to picture in your mind that tree, our Lord hanging on that tree. And you'll notice there, ladies and gentlemen, that it was a prophesied death. And that is, it was prophesied in the book of Deuteronomy. What we're learning about is that tree. And that is, that tree is reminding us of the crucifixion of the Christ. And that he died by being crucified. It was more than just a painful death. It was a predicted death, predicted all the way back in the book of Deuteronomy. It was no accident that Jesus died on the cross. It was not unexpected that Jesus died on the cross. Our Lord was not surprised when he was arrested, ladies and gentlemen. But I tell you that he knew all along that the time had come, the time for him to be glorified had finally arrived. He knew all along, and the reason why is because it was the divine plan from the very beginning that our Lord would die on that old rugged cross, that he would die on that tree. It was no surprise that caught Jesus off guard, but it is the fulfillment of God's divine plan laid out from the foundation of the world, the Bible tells us. That is, because of the awful curse of sin that lay upon all of humanity, and he died in our place when he died on that cross. When Paul was preaching in Antioch of Pisidia, he helped us understand that. Here's what he preached to the folks in that city in Acts 13, verse 27. I read it a moment ago. They that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not. That is, they didn't know him. Nor yet the voices of the prophets. If they'd have just known what the prophets said in the Old Testament, the ones that are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in condemning him. And that is, the condemnation that was brought by the Jewish leaders upon our Lord, the accusation that was brought against him, the sentence of death that was laid out upon him. Ladies and gentlemen, I tell you, the Bible says that they were fulfilling the divine plan. Even though they meant evil, they were fulfilling the divine plan. The Bible says in verse 28, though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him. They took him down from the tree. Bible tells us here that everything that was happening that day when our Lord was crucified was in fulfillment of all the prophecies of the Old Testament, including the fact that they hung him on a tree. That he died by means of crucifixion on that cross. Oh, our Lord didn't die like Stephen did. Oh, there was a time when the Jewish leaders took up stones to stone him in John chapter number 10. They were angry at him, wanted to stone him to death. But I tell you, he didn't die of stone. He couldn't die by being stoned. Hey, Jesus didn't have a heart attack and die. Jesus didn't die of a disease. No, the only way that the Son of God could pay the price for our sins is to fulfill all that was pictured of him in the Old Testament, ladies and gentlemen. And that is, he would die on that tree, bear the curse of our sin. That is, he would take our curse upon himself on that tree, as the writer of Deuteronomy, Moses, prophesied about in Deuteronomy 21. So what we're discovering is this. And that is, as you and I look at the tree, the truths that emerge from this tree. What we're seeing is this, and that is, we're seeing the crucifixion of the Christ. That his death, ladies and gentlemen, was a painful death at the hands of the Jews and the Romans. That his death was a prophesied death. The fact that he died on the tree is in fulfillment of the prophecies of the Old Testament. As Peter and Paul preached about that tree, it was also a proven death. Here's what I mean by that. In Paul's message in Acts chapter number 13 and verse number 39, he emphasized the fact that Jesus was taken down from the tree, and after he was taken down from the tree, he was laid in a sepulcher. The removal of our Lord's body from the cross and the burial in the tomb, ladies and gentlemen, should be seen as proof of the reality of his death for us. And that is that Jesus really died for us on that tree, on that cross. Pilate would have never allowed his body to be removed and buried if he hadn't have been dead. As a matter of fact, the gospel writer Mark emphasizes the reality of that for us in the book of Mark. Listen to what we read about in Mark chapter number 15, beginning of verse number 42. It says, "And now when the evening was come, because it was the preparation, that is the day before the Sabbath, that Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, which also waited for the kingdom of God, came." This is right after our Lord died. He came and he went in boldly, the Bible says, to Pilate and craved the body of Jesus, begging that he would allow him to take the body off of that cross. And Pilate marveled. He marveled if he were already dead. Pilate was amazed that Jesus had already died. And calling unto him the centurion, he asked him whether he had been any while dead. And when he knew it of the centurion, he gave the body to Joseph. And Joseph took his body and buried it in a tomb. Do you know that before Pilate ever allowed Joseph of Arimathea to take our Lord's body off of that tree and buried it in that tomb, that he confirmed with his centurion that he was indeed dead. If he hadn't have been dead, he wouldn't have let him come off of that cross, off of that tree. The burial of Jesus is proof, ladies and gentlemen. It is proof that Jesus indeed truly died on that cross. But when you see these truths, as Peter and Paul preach about the tree in Acts 5, Acts 10, and Acts 13, as they preach about the tree, the truth that is emerging is the truth about the crucifixion of the Christ. That he was crucified on a cross, that he was crucified on a tree. A painful death slew him. It was indeed a prophesied, predicted death. And I'll tell you, it was a proven death. He really died, and his burial is proof that he really did. We're learning something as we take a look at this tree. We're learning something about the crucifixion of the Christ. Now, as you look at the preaching of the early church about the tree in these same passages, you'll also learn another truth, and that is the condemnation of the Jews. And that is, the Bible tells us in these passages that we just looked at, in Acts chapter number 5 and verse number 10, Peter was preaching about the crucifixion, and he said, "Whom ye slew." Talking to the Jewish leaders. He said, "You're the ones who killed him. You're the ones who slew him and hanged on a tree." Whenever Peter was preaching in Acts 10, verse 39, he said it this way, whom they slew, the Jewish leaders, the ones in Jerusalem, they slew him and hung him on a tree. In Acts chapter number 13, we find that Paul also emphasizes in his preaching the role of the Jewish leaders in condemning Christ. And even though they were fulfilling the divine plan, they themselves played a role in condemning our Lord Jesus Christ. And this idea, ladies and gentlemen, is being preached here. The idea of being guilty of the death of Christ is a message that was preached by the early believers since the day of Pentecost. Listen to Acts chapter number 2, and you'll see what I mean. Acts chapter number 2, verse number 22. Here's Peter on the day of Pentecost. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, the man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know. You know Jesus and you know the miracles that he did. Him, that same one being delivered, arrested and delivered up by the determined counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken, and by wicked hands, there's those hands, by wicked hands have crucified and slain. You did that. The Jewish leaders, they did it. In Acts chapter number 3 and verse number 13, Peter's preaching again. The Bible says that he said this, the God of Abraham and Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom ye, you did this, you delivered him, you delivered him up, and denied him in the presence of Pilate. When he was determined to let him go, Pilate wanted to let him go, and you wouldn't let it happen. No, you wouldn't. You demanded the release of Barabbas instead. You did that, the Jewish leaders. Do you see what he's doing? In Acts chapter number 4 and verse number 8, Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man by what means he's made whole, then be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified. You see? The one that you crucified. It's by him, the Bible says, that God, the one that God raised from the dead, by him, that this man stand before you whole. Do you see what Peter did? As he is preaching the gospel message about the crucifixion of Christ, he does so in the context of condemning the Jewish leaders. He sure does. Now this message of condemnation, that they are under the judgment of God, they have rejected their own Messiah. And that as God sent his son to them, their Messiah, and they rejected him and crucified him. And therefore they stand before God guilty and condemned. This message of condemnation that was heard by the Jewish leaders infuriated them. In Acts chapter number 5 and verse number 27, listen to what they said. Acts 5:27. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did we not straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, you fill Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. You're going around saying that we're the ones who did this. That we're the ones who are guilty of the blood of this man, Jesus. That we're the ones who are condemned. That we're the ones. You're going around telling everybody that. That we're the ones, that we have his blood on our hands. Well, was his blood upon them? Matthew 23, notice what it says. In Matthew chapter number 23 and verse number 29, our Lord is speaking to them. To the Jewish leaders, he said, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you build the tombs of the prophets, garner the sepulchres of the righteous, and say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Wherefore, you be witnesses unto yourselves that you are the children of them which killed the prophets. And then he said, fill ye up then the measure of your fathers, you serpents, generation of vipers. How can you escape the damnation of hell? Wherefore, behold, I send you the prophets, the wise men, scribes, and some of them you kill and crucify. Some of them you scourge in your synagogues, persecute them from city to city, that upon you, this generation, may come all the righteous blood shed from the earth, from the blood of the righteous Abel all the way back in the book of Genesis, folks, under the blood of Zacharias, the son of Bacharias, whom you slew from the temple and the altar. Verily, I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation. Did they have blood on their hands? Jesus said, you've got the blood of everyone from Abel to the prophet Zacharias on your hands, on this generation. You say, why would that be? Because God didn't just send a prophet. He sent the prophet, the Lord Jesus. They rejected him. And ladies and gentlemen, they crucified him. And therefore they stand before God guilty. Some of you might remember the exchange in Matthew 27 and verse number 24. Matthew 27 and verse number 24. As our Lord is being tried before Pilate, the Bible says, when Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, he was trying to let him go. The Jewish leaders kept insisting that he be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I'm innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Then answered all the people, and they said, his blood be on us and our children. Ladies and gentlemen, indeed they were guilty. They stood before him condemned. As Peter is preaching about the tree, he's saying, you're the ones who put him on the tree. That is, you're the ones who crucified him. Paul proclaimed the same message. They were the ones who crucified him. As you look at what is being preached here in this about the tree, you can't help but see the condemnation of the Jews under the judgment of Almighty God. Under the judgment of God, the condemnation was announced by our Lord. That is, eternal condemnation announced. Even though God the Father designed all of this from the beginning, they're still accountable for the rejection of the Messiah. That is, even though it was God's purpose for our Lord to be crucified on the cross, even though it's been designed from the foundation of the world that he give his life on that cross, the Jews of the first century who betrayed him, arrested him, condemned him, and delivered him to the Romans to be crucified were accountable, ladies and gentlemen, for what they did to their own Messiah. Jesus said it this way in Luke 19, verse number 41. When he was come near, he beheld the city, Jerusalem. He wept over it. And he said, if thou hast known, even thou at least in this thy day, the things which belong to thy peace, but now they're hid from your eyes. For the days shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench around thee, about thee, compass thee around, and keep thee in on every side. It's talking about a military invasion around the city of Jerusalem. The Bible says they'll lay thee even with the ground and thy children within thee. They'll not leave in thee one stone upon another because, and here's the reason why, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. God sent his son. They rejected him. And our Lord is announcing the judgment of God upon them because they rejected the very Messiah and the very Christ. Jesus spoke to them very frankly in Matthew 23 and he said, how can you escape the damnation of hell? When he spoke to them in Matthew chapter number 11, that is to the city of Capernaum and the surrounding cities, he described them, ladies and gentlemen, as being worse off in the day of judgment than Sodom and Gomorrah. And the reason why is because they rejected the very Son of God. As the Word of God, as the gospel is being preached, as the truth about the tree is being preached, then you should see the truth about the crucifixion of the Christ. You should also see emerging from these passages the truth about the condemnation upon the Jews who rejected him. You should also see the truth about the resurrection of our Savior. As you read these passages where the tree is being preached by Peter and Paul, emphasizing that Christ died on that tree, you notice all three messages not only point to the tree, the cross, the crucifixion. All three messages not only point to the condemnation of the Jewish leaders for their role in condemning our Lord, but it also points to the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Go back to Acts chapter number 5 and notice what the Bible says there. In Acts chapter number 5 and verse number 30, it says, the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree. You killed him. You slew him. You hanged him on a tree. But God raised him from the dead. In Acts chapter number 10 and verse number 40, as Peter was preaching to Cornelius, he says, him God raised up on the third day. In Acts chapter number 13 and verse number 30, as Paul is preaching in Antioch of Pisidia, he said, but God raised him from the dead. And so the emphasis there, ladies and gentlemen, is on the resurrection from the dead. And that is the message of the early church. And that is that God raised him. That is, the Jewish leaders condemned him and rejected him and crucified him on the cross. And yet God raised him from the dead. Listen again to Peter's message in Acts chapter number 2. And verse number 22, you men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, the man approved of God among you by the miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken, even though it was the will of God, the purpose of God, the foreknowledge of God, yet you took him, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. But God, listen, whom God has raised up, God raised him from the dead, having loosed the pains of death. Listen, it was not possible for death to hold him. Death could not hold him. Divine life could not be held captive by death, ladies and gentlemen. And he's raised from the dead. That's the message in Acts chapter number 3 in verse number 14. Listen to the message. That is, you denied the Holy One, Peter preached. You denied the just, the Lord Jesus, and desired a murderer to be granted to you. That is Barabbas. You killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead. Whereof, ladies and gentlemen, we are witnesses. You put him on the cross and he was buried in the tomb. God raised him from the dead. He is the Prince of Life and is resurrected. He's alive. And Peter is saying, listen, we know that he is. We're his witnesses. We're the ones. We saw him crucified on the cross. We saw him buried in the tomb. And we've seen him alive since his resurrection. He's appeared to them and there are his witnesses. God raised him from the dead. And by doing so, God demonstrated that everything that Jesus said about himself was true. That he really is the Son of God. That the reason why he went to that tree was to die for our sins on the cross. His body really was broken for us, like he said. His blood really was shed for the remission of sins, like he said. He really died for us on that cross. You say, Pastor, how do you know? Because God raised him from the dead. And the resurrection is the proof and demonstration that everything that he said really is true. You and I can really experience remission of sin and really have eternal life. He really is the promised King who's going to reign forever and ever and ever. He really is the promised seed going all the way back to Genesis 3:15. He really is the one that Isaiah was talking about when he tells us that he was bruised for our iniquities in Isaiah 53. It's really him. You say, Pastor, are you sure? I know it is. And the reason why is because he's been raised from the dead. Oh, when you look at what the apostles preached about that tree, the truth that emerges from their message in Acts 5, Acts 10, and Acts 13 is the truth about the crucifixion of the Christ. Preaching that message is the condemnation of the Jews, the ones who rejected him. In that message is preached the resurrection of the Savior. And also the exaltation, ladies and gentlemen, the exaltation of the victor. The one who won the victory over death has been exalted above all and over all. Look again, Acts 5 and what it says. Acts 5 verse 30. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree. Him, that same one. The same one you slew on the tree. The same one that God raised from the dead. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and the forgiveness of sins. God has exalted him. I'll tell you, whenever Peter was preaching to Cornelius in Acts chapter number 10, you'll see it again. Look at it real quickly. Acts chapter number 10 And verse number 39, we are witnesses of all the things which he did, both in the land of the Jews, in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto the witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that is he, Jesus, which was ordained to God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. Do you see it there? God has exalted him, ladies and gentlemen, to be judge of the universe. He sure has. We see his exaltation again in Antioch of Pisidia in Acts chapter number 13. Whenever Paul was preaching about that tree. In Acts 13, listen to what it says. Acts chapter number 13. Verse number 32. We declare unto you, verse 32. We declare unto you glad tidings, good news. How that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us their children, in that he hath raised up Jesus again. As it is written in the second psalm, David's psalm, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee, brought you out of the tomb, is the idea. And as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, he said, on this wise, I'll give you the sure mercies of David. He's talking about the exaltation of Jesus Christ, ladies and gentlemen, after his resurrection from the dead. Exalted above all and exalted over all. The exaltation of Christ would include his resurrection from the dead, but also his ascension to the right hand. His ascension to the right hand of the throne of God, to the place that is above all, that is to the one that is exalted to be over all. This exaltation to the right hand of God is explained to us in the writings of the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter number 1 and verse number 20. Listen to what he writes. In Ephesians 1, it says, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, and then the Bible says, set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Now listen to the next verse. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And he has put all things, everything, under his feet, and gave him to be head over all things, to the church, which is the body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. But the Bible tells us here that when the Father exalted the Son after his resurrection to the right hand, that, ladies and gentlemen, he put him in a position of all authority, that everything is under his feet. He is above all. He is over all. That he is above all principality, above every power. He's over every realm of existence that there is. That is, the Lord Jesus is exalted to that position of power and authority. We see it in Philippians chapter number 2. Listen to what Paul writes to the believers in Philippi. In Philippians chapter number 2, the Bible says in verse number 9, God hath also highly exalted him. After his death on the cross and his resurrection, God has highly exalted him, given him a name which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Everything, ladies and gentlemen, in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth, describing the realm of the dead, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. God has exalted him above all and over all. Many years later, as Peter was writing his first epistle, he wrote in 1 Peter 3:22 about Jesus, that he has gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God. Angels, listen, angels and authorities and powers all being made subject or submissive to him. His authority is above all and he is over all. He is the one who has all authority in heaven and in earth. That is, John said that he that cometh from above is indeed above all. He is the one who is victorious over sin. He is the one who's been victorious over Satan. He is the one who is victorious over death. He's the one who's head over everything, ladies and gentlemen. He's the one that not only created the universe, but now sustains the universe. He's the one that oversees the universe. He's the one who's over the universe, ladies and gentlemen. He's the one who's above all. He's the one who's over all. Listen, he has more authority than the president. He has more authority than the United Nations. He has more authority than all the nations brought together into the kingdom of the Antichrist. Listen, the devil can't even sneeze unless he has permission from our Lord. Amen. He's above all and over all. He's over the realm of the demonic. He's over the realm of human beings. He's over the realm of every form of life. Jesus is above all and over all. I want you to see him hanging on a tree. And as you see him hanging on that tree, what you are seeing, the one that you're seeing on that tree is the one who's been exalted above all, over all, Lord over all. You say, Pastor, why do y'all get together on a Sunday night and you get a little piece of bread? Because we don't want to forget him who's above all and over all. And the reason why we drink that juice is because we want to remember the blood that he shed, the one who's above all and over all, the one who has all authority, the one of these days, the very one who's going to return someday and is going to take over this planet and rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You would do well to remember him. Just a few truths from that old tree. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We need you so much, and we thank you that you've taken your book and opened it up to us through the preaching of the apostles, Peter and Paul, in these passages, as they talked about that tree. Father, we pray that you'll do your work on the inside of us, that those who are here that have never been born again, have never come to Christ, God, they will see Jesus and all that he did on that cross when he died in our place. God, I pray that you would so operate and so move that, God, your people, Father, might be reminded of what he did for us. The crucifixion. All the condemnation. We might be reminded of his resurrection and exaltation tonight. Rejoice that we have a living Lord. Risen from the dead, above all and over all, sovereign over our lives, sovereign over the church. God, I thank you for that. Lord, I pray that you'd move among us and help us, God, in these moments that we have. Lord, thank you for what you're about to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand together.